Psalm 136. It's found on page 660 of your pew Bibles. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever, a heritage to Israel his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we have looked at the beginning of these psalms of worship. From the very end of those Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 124, that short three-verse psalm where it was the worshipers of God who were commending the Levites as they reported to the temple to continue in their duties to worship God, having themselves experienced the joy of gathering with God's people for that season of those festivals. They looked ahead to that opportunity once again to gather with God's people that they might recall God's faithfulness and they might worship Him together. Then we looked at Psalm 125, where there the command was to worship God. And we were given reasons for why we worship God. And now we come to Psalm 136. Excuse me, I meant 134, 135, and 136. Where in 136, we now have this call to give praise to God. And this is an interesting psalm. It is known as the Great Hallel. It is likely one of those psalms that Christ would have led his disciples in singing together. And it's an interesting psalm in that we have this repetition throughout this psalm. For his steadfast love endures forever. A constant refrain that is here found in Psalm 136. And that is a key point that is to stir within the hearts of God's people this attitude of giving praise. For there's nothing more valuable to us than a realization of this type of steadfast love, which both has been shown to us by God and which will continue. And God's word attests to the continuing nature of his love. It is steadfast. And so we're going to be looking at three or four things this evening as time allows. First, that this thanks stems from one's knowledge of God. And we'll see how in these early verses that knowledge of God is the driving force behind the psalmist calling upon us to give praise to God. Second, we'll see how it is that the psalmist recalls so many of those things which testify to God's care and love shown to his people over the history of his people. And next, we'll be looking at this idea of this repeated theme of his steadfast love enduring forever and why it is important to us. And then how his gracious dealings yield that most glorious salvation secured for us by Christ. So let's look here at this thanks that the psalmist calls us to in these early verses. He begins by saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." For he is good. Clearly, we have an expression here by the psalmist of something that indicates his familiarity with God. This is something which the psalmist here has brought to us that is the culmination of years of study, of reflection upon God's Word. That as he would reflect upon the Word of God, time and again he sees that all that God has done, all that God has commanded, have been and are for him good. All of those things yield for him a reason to celebrate and to praise God that he has proven himself again and again to grant to those who love him good upon good. He says, "Give thanks to the God of gods, to the Lord of lords," that all of these other things that the world may embrace are nothing in comparison to the greatness of our Almighty Heavenly Father. And then he goes into the rationale. And it's at this point that he recalls so many of the reasons that should evoke within us praise for God. You see, just as he did in Psalm 135, he takes us back even to the act of creation. As there we see the power of God on display, as he brings into being all that is by the power of his word. It is God alone who does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth above the waters, who made the great lights, even the sun to rule the day, and the moon and stars to rule over the night. Here he recalls God's work of creation, that we might again marvel at the power of the one who has this steadfast love that he has directed to his people. That we might marvel at our smallness, and yet the God of the universe cares enough to sustain us. He brings this matter of the creation before us that we might recall that that one who brought all of these things into being by the power of his word maintained his creation even after we had rebelled against him. And it is He who sustains all of His creation today. Each breath that we take, we rarely give much thought to it. And yet it is another constant reminder of God's sustaining grace showered out upon His creatures that we take that next breath. As we look up into the sky at night, if we happen to be blessed with a clear sky tonight in western Pennsylvania, we marvel at the immensity of the universe which God has created. That He was pleased by the might of His hand to sling those stars throughout. And that they operate as a regular reminder to us of His capabilities as our Creator. And He moves from this matter of creation on down to this matter of God leading His people out of Egypt. Again, at the core of this, reminiscing on God's great deliverance from Egypt, is that reminder to you and I that the God whom we serve, that one whom we praise, that one whom we've gathered tonight to worship, is faithful to deliver His people. And that's a helpful reminder to us, is it not, during this pandemic, during these uncertain times, during the chaos that we see politically within our own nation, that God, the same God who was faithful to bring His people out of Egypt, a nation which was renowned throughout the world as the most powerful nation at that time, could not stand against our God. And we see the evidences of God's might in those verses 10 through 16. Where we see not only is God the creator of all things, but He is the master of life and death. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. As the psalmist is contemplating and recalling these things, he is also aware, and this psalm is likely written as a post-exilic psalm. This is after the time of the Babylonian exile. And so the psalmist, as he is writing this, not only is aware of God's faithfulness in bringing the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, but he is also aware of God's recent deliverance from their more recent enemy and captor, Babylon. And so he sees that this is another example of God's faithful dealings and steadfast love shown to His people. And it's by this mighty hand that God is happy to establish those whom He has redeemed, those whom He has purchased and bought out of slavery. And that was our condition in our sin. We were slaves, very much like our forefathers in Egypt, but we were slaves to sin. And we had a very bad, evil master. He was a cruel master. And yet, by Christ, God was pleased to deliver us out of the hand of that oppressive master into the glorious service of Christ. And instead of having a foul master, now we serve the risen one, in whom we find it a delight to serve Him. I mentioned we have this repeated theme, His steadfast love endures forever. And some of you kids may have been counting as you went through this. There are 26 repeated phrases within this short psalm. And it's interesting, in the Hebrew language, there was a tendency, there was an assigning of a numeric value to the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so here at the beginning of Psalm 136, we see that God, who is here being put before us in Hebrew, is the word for Yahweh. And the word Yahweh in Hebrew would have that numeric value of 26. And so a lot of commentators say one of the reasons that we may see that theme, that phrase repeated 26 times, "For his steadfast love endures forever," is that we would have no question as to who that is whose steadfast love endures forever. It is Yahweh that is here being kept continually before us as that one who is faithful, that one who has created all things, that one who has delivered us out of sin, that one who has ensured our safe arrival into that promised condition of salvation in Christ. We see his wonderful promises accomplished as we travel on down through verses 17 to 22. "To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant." These things, again, attest to God's wonderful guidance, seeing his people through all of those different difficulties. Those who stood against the people of God were dealt with not by the might of Israel, but by the mighty hand of God. And then at the end, we see another reason that we have as his people to praise him continually. "It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh." Here we see this loving care of God, who, though he is the creator of all things, though he has an arm unmatched for its might that could lead people out of the hands of their oppressors, God took notice of our low estate. Our holy God, who would have been completely within his right as holy and as our judge to mete out his judgments against us from the very beginning of man's failures in sin, didn't leave us in a condition of brokenness and death, but rather we see that he had planned from all time that great plan of salvation, utilizing his own Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembered us in our low estate. He saw us as wandering, blind, dumb men, women, and children, following after the folly of their own desires and their own human wisdom. And he provided a means of salvation, sending his own Son to accomplish what we could not accomplish. For we failed miserably to uphold the law which God had so graciously given to us, revealing it to Moses upon the mountain. And yet we see that we failed again and again. Each one of us today can certainly identify with the fact that we fail daily to uphold all that he has commanded. But his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, most perfectly upheld all that God commanded. Doing all of those things which we could not, that he might be for us that second Adam, that second representative head, and that he might secure for us, rather than death and destruction due to us for our sin, he might secure for us new life and life everlasting, that he might restore to us a relationship with this God who created the universe, this God who delivered his people from the most powerful nations of the world, the God who did not turn tail in the face of these great kings, but who struck them down, that we might give him praise. Brothers and sisters, we have within this psalm a reminder that we are to be keeping these matters in our hearts and our minds day by day, that we might be quick to give him praise, that we might continually be giving thanks, that his psalms may be welling up within our hearts day by day, hour by hour, and allowing us the opportunity to sing his word back to him in obedience to this call to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, to give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And so as we begin this new week, as we go forth, not knowing what new challenges may be before us, may God be pleased to bring these things back to our mind, to both encourage us and to stir us to give him praise each day that he's pleased to give us on this earth and throughout all eternity. Let's look to him in praise. Almighty God, again we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, for you have created all things. We give you thanks, Lord, for you have demonstrated your steadfast love in the great lengths which you have gone to help a broken and needy people. We thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your great mercy and your grace by sending your Son into the world to accomplish what we could not, and who was pleased in obedience to your word to secure for us salvation. Lord, we are weak and we are too easily swayed. And so, Lord, we pray that as you would be pleased to reveal yourself to us, that as we would grow in our familiarity with your word, Lord, that you would fill our hearts day by day anew with praise and thanksgiving as we grow in our appreciation for the miraculous things which you have done. Lord, we read this evening of that account of that poor woman and her son, who to all human wisdom appeared to be at the end of their life. Their supplies were gone. The drought had ruined all of the crops. And yet, in obedience to your command, she prepared that meal and she experienced your sustaining grace, sustaining her household for many days until you were pleased to give the rain. Lord, we thank you for the way that you were pleased to sustain your people over the hundreds of years that they were there enslaved in Egypt. And yet you were pleased to bring them out. And Lord, as we look about us in this day and age, and we see the confusion that exists. We see the divisions and the hurts. Lord, we pray that once again you will show forth your steadfast love, that you will bless the efforts of your servants as they proclaim your goodness to their neighbors, their families, their friends, their co-workers, that you would continue to deliver men, women, and children out of their condition of deadness into the glorious life secured by Christ, that you would take them out of a position of turmoil and dread into the glorious peace and light and joy and hope of Christ. And so, Lord, as we prepare for this coming week of work, may you provide for us new opportunities to speak of our hope in Christ. And may you draw people to yourself through us, mere clay vessels, instruments in your hand, all, Lord, to the glory of your name. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
King, friend, and